Hi, I'm Ben Rizzuto, wealth strategist at Janus Henderson Investors. For 90 years, we've worked to help clients achieve superior financial outcomes and fulfill our purpose of investing in a brighter future together. To learn more, go to janushenderson.com.
Inflation has reached a four-decade high. How much is it costing you?
Different groups, on average, tend to spend a greater share of their budget on different things. So if you're an older person, you're probably spending more of your budget on healthcare, for example. Or if you're a person who is commuting to work a long distance, you're driving, you're going to have a car, you're going to be spending on gasoline.
And what the latest inflation data could mean for volatility on Wall Street. Plus, why Girl Scout troops are getting a lesson in global economics. It's Thursday, February 10th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. U.S. stocks fell today after new data showed inflation reached a 40-year high last month. Consumer prices rose on everything from furniture and appliances to cars, accelerating inflation to a 7.5% annual rate. That's higher than December's rate of 7% and more than four times the 1.8% rate from 2019. The sell-off in stocks intensified on the news. The Dow lost 1.5%, the S&P 500 dropped 1.8%, and the Nasdaq shed 2.1%. Meanwhile, bond yields rose to more than 2% for the first time since 2019. Money managers say they're preparing for more market volatility as investors weigh whether the Federal Reserve will take more aggressive steps to bring inflation under control. We'll talk more about just how much inflation is costing U.S. consumers in real money later in the show. In earnings news, Twitter reported a lower-than-expected profit in the latest quarter as expenses climbed. But the social media company says it has largely avoided the financial fallout from privacy changes at Apple that have weighed down Facebook parent Meta. Twitter said its daily user base rose slightly, just under 3%. It also announced a $4 billion stock buyback today, its first since a $2 billion buyback in 2020. And Coke and Pepsi both reported higher quarterly sales, but the soda giants said they spent more on trucking, agricultural commodities, and packaging, which dented profits. Speaking of higher prices, housing affordability worsened in the fourth quarter as home prices and mortgage interest rates rose. According to the National Association of Realtors, the median price for existing single-family homes was higher last quarter for 181 of 183 metro areas compared with a year ago. The typical monthly mortgage payment for a single-family home rose to over $1,200 from just over $1,000 a year earlier. The mayor of Windsor, Ontario, says the Canadian border city will seek a court order to remove demonstrators blocking traffic in a key trade corridor to Detroit. The protests by truckers and their supporters against COVID-19 vaccine mandates has forced automakers, including General Motors and Ford, to scale back production in the U.S. and Canada. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau made remarks in Ottawa amidst a clamoring parliament today on the federal government's actions.
We've been working closely with partners on the ground. We've been furnishing resources. We've been furnishing RCMP officers. We've been furnishing tactical supports as we move forward through this. We understand how important it is to put an end to these barricades. We understand how important it is for people to get their lives back, to be able to get their livelihoods back.
The disruption has led to a parts shortage for GM, forcing it to cancel shifts in Lansing, Michigan. Ford cut output at two plants in Ontario. It's the first sign of economic fallout from the protests, which have also disrupted traffic in other parts of Canada. The Senate has approved a bill that would prohibit companies from forcing employees and customers into arbitration proceedings to address sexual assault and harassment complaints. Mandatory arbitration blocks potential victims from bringing their claims to court, instead sending them to arbitrators who work to resolve them privately. The House had approved its own version of the bill on Monday. In a statement earlier this month, the White House said President Biden strongly supports the bill and wants to work with Congress to address mandatory arbitration more broadly in cases involving racial discrimination, wage disputes, and labor practices. Coming up, inflation keeps adding up. How that's impacting your budget after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high volume, high speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
We've all seen higher prices on grocery shelves, at gas stations, and on all kinds of consumer goods for the past few months. But how much are those rising prices, the inflation we talked about earlier, adding up? For more on the real-world impact of inflation on your wallet, I'm joined now by Wall Street Journal economics reporter Gwen Gilford. Hi, Gwen. Thanks for being here.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
So, Gwen, economists have been monitoring this, and there's data out on just how much more inflation is costing the average U.S. household. What can you tell us about what they found here?
Yeah, so if you take what the average family spends on, you know, their daily needs each month, under 2% or so inflation, and then compare that what they're paying for those same goods and services under 7.5% inflation, that gets you to about $276 a month more for the average family. And that's according to Moody's Analytics.
How about in terms of different demographic groups? Who's feeling the impact of higher prices the most and why?
So different groups, on average, tend to spend a greater share of their budget on different things. So if you're an older person, you're probably spending more of your budget on healthcare, for example. Or if you're a person who is commuting to work a long distance, you're driving, you're going to have a car, you're going to be spending on gasoline. And so depending on how much inflation has gone up for those various goods and services, the impact on, you know, your costs changes a lot. So if you're 35 to 44, it's up $303 a month, according to the Moody's calculation. And, you know, probably a lot of that is because of spending more on cars, spending a greater share on gasoline, those things that have really surged this year. And then if you're not doing that, you know, your costs are, you know, maybe a little more manageable.
And Gwen, how is this cutting into Americans' ability to pay their bills? Are we seeing an impact there yet?
So in general, households are in a lot better financial shape, definitely, than you'd expect coming out of a recession, but even compared to sort of normal times, in part because, you know, sort of pent up savings due to not being able to spend for a lot of the last 2 years, and then also because there was a lot of federal income support. So people in general are sort of, you know, on average again, in better financial shape. They're probably able to cover their bills even as inflation is higher. That said, there was a study from the New York Fed out a couple days ago that found that younger consumers, there's a slight uptick in delinquency rates for auto loans because even with prices up so much, people are taking on a bigger debt burden to buy a car. So that may have to do with why 25 and under are seeing higher delinquency rates. And we'll see if that continues as people start spending down their savings. And, you know, at the same time, wages are going up. So that probably will help kind of offset the spend down of savings that's happening. And, you know, wages are going up particularly quickly for younger workers. So maybe that will help stem some of the delinquency rate issues. You know, and one of the price increases that jumped out at me looking at CPI this morning was the electricity went up a ton, and really, really sharp increase of 10.5%, I think, in January. That's a lot. You know, everybody needs electricity, especially we're all home plugging in our computers and doing our washing machines during the day and our dishwashers. Like, that's going to add up for a lot of families.
So we've been talking largely about U.S. consumers. How about corporations? We are in earnings season. Some of them are doing fairly well. How are they handling higher inflation right now?
Most corporations are complaining about their higher costs with good reason. You know, you look at the producer price indexes and those are all up a lot. You know, shipping costs are continue to be through the roof. A lot of the supply chain issues that have been making everything so much more expensive, those haven't really gone away that much. So corporations are definitely feeling on that front. Labor costs are starting to go up in a way that's maybe squeezing them a little bit. That said, consumers are accepting higher prices in general, and corporations are enjoying more pricing power than they've had in a really long time, decades. And prices are going up quite a lot, 7.5%, right, in January. But people are paying those. You don't see a big pullback. People aren't hitting the limit and be like, oh, no, won't pay for that. And that tells you that, you know, maybe there's starting to be a little bit of a psychological shift where consumers accept higher prices. Everybody knows, like, you know, what are we doing right now? We're talking about inflation. And everybody knows to expect higher prices. Well, that makes it easier to push through higher prices to cover your costs and maybe get a little bit more back that you lost in the pandemic or, you know, that you might as well claim. That said, those are big corporations. Like, smaller companies, they don't have the same pricing power. They're perhaps in more competitive markets. This isn't like an across the board boom time for, you know, companies. Like, it could be experienced in a pretty uneven way, the way much of this pandemic has been.
And how about how the Federal Reserve is thinking about this? It's been a challenge for several months now to tame inflation, and we're now looking ahead to a rate increase in mid-March. Are these latest numbers likely to change that path at all?
Not at all. If anything, this increases the pressure on the Fed to be a little more aggressive. And a lot of economists are now expecting a 50 basis point hike next month. And that seems a lot more likely after this morning's print.
Wall Street Journal economics reporter Gwen Gilford. Gwen, thanks so much for your time today.
Thanks for having me.
And finally, it's Girl Scout cookie season. But this year, the Scouts aren't just getting a lesson in entrepreneurship. The bakery that supplies the signature cookies to most of the country has been experiencing production delays, and troops are having to explain why those customer favorites like Thin Mints and Samoas might be missing this year. Here's 10-year-old Bailey Laycook talking about peanut butter tagalongs and supply and demand in Los Angeles.
Even though they're the second most popular cookie, being the popularest cookie means they run out way too quickly.
7-year-old Cricket Winters sells her cookies outside her dad's church in Florida and explains supply chain issues.
Because workers are getting sick and they have to go home and there's less supplies.
Life and Work reporter Rachel Wolf says the shortage is teaching the Scouts the hard sell.
They're trying to say, you know, well, if you like peanut butter, then maybe you'll like Do-Si-Dos, and drawing cookie outlines on the sidewalks and holding up cookie crossing signs pointing to the lemonade stands that they have set up.
A global economic turmoil badge may not exist yet, but I have a feeling they're earning one this year. And that's what's news for this Thursday afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow morning. If you like our show, please rate and review us. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.